The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
As we welcome our guest to Freedom 106.5 FM, his name is Mr. Abraham Ali, president of the San Juan Business Association, and we're here to talk about the state of emergency and the crime situation. So good morning to you, sir, and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your program this morning. I'm much appreciated.
So let's start first with the borough of San Juan. What is the temperature like in San Juan? And as it pertains to businesses, what changes have you seen since the implementation of the state of emergency?
Well, as far as the businesses are concerned, the economy is at an all-time low. So the state of emergency has not impacted in a positive way for that. What we recognize, the turnaround in the economy will be dependent on how the government approaches the small and micro industries and the confidence they instill in those industries. The other thing we know that has a great impact on the economy and on the ground is the absence of the small and micro enterprises being encouraged to do business and the lack of spending in the economy by particularly the social programs that the government implemented. And these are non-existent now, so that the economy is really at a standstill and continues to be like that.
So let me put it on the table in a more focused way. Is it that you're suggesting the part of the business or economy run was, I don't want to use the word supplemented, but was driven by the sector of the community to be plain and to be blunt, CPAP, URP workers, would you say that their income contributed greatly to the movement of businesses in the San Juan area?
Well, I'll tell you.
Or spending by them, I should say.
Every economy is dependent on employed persons. Mm-hmm. If you're not employed, you can't spend. You can't have money to do simple things. The double vendors, the small roti maker or Creole food producer, he has not been able to materialize the sales to even keep him afloat. So yes, social programs do have an impact on small and micro businesses throughout the country, throughout the world, I will say. Mm-hmm. And that is why governments will always tell you that they need to provide a level of employment for the unemployable. Remember, some of these persons are uneducated. They have no skill set. They have no professions that they could rely on. So they rely on social programs that the government will implement from time to time. And once that is non-existent, a great part of the economy is also non-existent. That's a factory matter.
So in how do we assist small businesses to, one, stay afloat, and two, meet the demands of the market?
You see, one of the things we hear about is encouraging entrepreneurship or encouraging the small people to get involved in barbering and hairdressing and nail techs and that kind of thing. But if there are no clients to furnish those businesses to keep them afloat, if those persons who will go to those businesses don't have the liquidity to spend into the economy, then it makes no sense. These small guys cannot pay a rent. They can't pay their staff. They can't pay their utilities because there is no business stimulated. And to stimulate any economy, you need two aspects. One is the investment, and the other one is the client to purchase from those businesses. Oh. And if there's no power in the clients, as far as spending money is concerned, then it will not turn around.
Now, the one way that these businesses actually got any business at all was by setting up on the streets, street vending. What is the chamber's perspective on that now, seeing as you suggested earlier, one way that it was generated income and actually foot traffic was street vending?
But you see, street vending in itself is only a way to put your goods out for the public. But if the public cannot purchase, then regardless, if you put your merchandise in a area where you have to pay a small rent, or you put it on the street. Now, one of the things that you must understand, there's a rippling effect when your business cannot pay a rent. Then you are forced to become a street vendor because you want to survive. But I'm saying more than anything else, the small businesses who operate in a environment, as well as the street vendors, they are both not doing well. It's just one is able to survive a little longer because he has no utility, he has no rent, he has limited amount of expenditures, so he survives on the street a little longer. But it doesn't say he's getting sales to make him viable. The option is not viable if he's not getting sales.
So I guess you're stuck between a rock and a hard place in terms of, even if you did measures like a regulated street vending, longer opening hours, etc., the buying power of the consumer is directly related to how much cash they have. So
you have hit the nail on the head. The buying power is not there. Remember, these persons who work, as you mentioned, CPAP, URP, what they have is an income that there are no savings. It is transcended into the economy with immediate effect. As they get it, they spend it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no savings. But what you have is that they drive small and micro, if you want to call a street vendor a micro, they drive that economy.
Mm-hmm.
They drive that aspect of business, but that is non-existent at this point.
So now knowing that sector at this present time do not have the buying power, is there a idea or way of attracting those who do have that spending power?
So the persons with the spending power, they now choose to go to the better outlets. They now choose to do shopping at malls and shopping at higher end areas. They are the ones that could go to a restaurant, or they are the ones that could go and buy at a mall that the prices are higher, because their work and their employment, it is secured.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the public sector, maybe 40,000-50,000 persons who work within that sector, they continue to enjoy a salary every month. But there are persons who buy once a month. They go to the supermarket once a month. They don't go to the supermarket twice a week or three times a week. So they have a better ability to spend money. That money that they get at the end of the month, they will just take sufficient to go to the supermarket or to do the important shopping, and that's where they spend their money.
Mm-hmm.
So the street vendors or the small and micro are left out of that equation. They're left out, completely left out.
So would a idea of revamping San Juan in terms of cleaning the streets, improving the facades of the stores, improving pavements and so on, do you think that would be a good idea from the chamber to encourage new businesses, or not new businesses, but new buyers?
Well, I'll tell you what is happening. When you have a downturn in the economy, it is the best time for businesses to invest. And it is because you are preparing yourself for whenever that economy turns around. So if you want to enjoy the full swing that comes into place, which we expect in 2027, if you at all want to capitalize on that, you need to get yourself ready from now.
Mm-hmm.
So we are saying to all businesses, if you have to do repairs, refurbishing, reorganizing, beautifying. You put that injection now when the economy is slow, and when it takes off, you're well poised to capitalize on that. And that in itself will have some effect on stimulating the economy, the small plumbers and carpenters and electricians and all these people, the people who will paint, mm-hmm. the people who will do the facade and all that, all those persons will be employed.
Because, I mean, if it is that you make a connection with persons with those types of skills, as you just mentioned, that would be required to beautify San Juan, you know, one, you'd say you would stimulate that sector to a point and then encourage others to see that it looks better, and in conjunction with the municipal the police and so on, to increase their presence, and because we're going to talk about crime in a second, it would stimulate that part to have the spending power to come, and because what emancipation, Christmas and so on is just around the corner.
Yes. So you see, every occasion have an impact on commerce, mm-hmm. and that's one of the fortunate things that Trinidad experience, is that we go from season to season, and we have a lot of that, like you just finished with the football.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself would have stimulated some movement with who want to stay home, who want to have fun, have some drinks and whatever, provide food. That would have created some movement in the supermarkets for the alcohol consumption area. But those things are short-term and short-lived. But if you want to encourage this sector, the small and micro, and you could only encourage those who have the wherewithal, the money, the ability to raise money, whether it is to output 100, 200,000 in your business, to improve it, just to wait for when things turn around. Those are the persons we will want to encourage. Get your rehabilitation on your businesses, your refurbishing, get those things underway, and that will help to stimulate the economy to an extent. It also creates some confidence that people know, listen, this downturn will not last forever. This downturn will move on, and the faster we invest as the private sector, is the faster we change the economic climate, is the faster we create and stimulate confidence within the community.
Do you suggest government come to the table to talk about interventions for San Juan businesses to do just what you just said?
Of course, let me tell you, government need to talk. Just as I have some ideas, they may have some. Some of these business people may have some. We need to come and talk and see how quickly we could get things moving. And we need to encourage each other. But if we isolate ourselves, if we decide to stay away from government or government stay away from us and just believe things will change, it's not going to change as rapid as we'd like it to. You will have businesses folding up if we leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have happening is a rippling effect of unemployed persons, because when businesses close down, the small and micro may have 2, 3, 4, 5 persons employed. They go on the breadline as well, and they slow down the economy even further. It's a rippling effect, and we need to address it. The government need to talk to small and micro. They need to speak to organizations like our organization, our business association. I'll tell you, July the 27th, we are celebrating 36 years of existence. To exist in an economy that is up and down and swinging all over the place for 36 years is not easy. It's not easy to keep it afloat. It is not easy to encourage and to keep that aspect of people believing that you're there to help. It's a challenge. So we need every aspect of wherever it could come from to come and help and support and encourage and engender that good spirit and that good nature of getting businesses off.
So let's
so listen.
Sorry about that. Let's turn our attention to crime in the area. Has there been an improvement since the implementation of the state of emergency? If not, what do you suggest to harbor or encourage the citizens of San Juan and, of course, by extension, Trinidad and Tobago to feel safer in the area?
Let me tell you, when I look at the state of emergency, so when I look at what is happening in the country and what would have caused the government to create the state of emergency and by extension the PDOs, so that would have had an impact to take some undesirable persons off the street. But I am a bit worried about those persons who may go behind bars for a period of 3 months, but they are not rehabilitated to the extent where recidivism is not going to happen. What is changing a person who you put behind bars for 3 months but have not implemented a program that will redirect that person from a life of crime to a life to be a normal person? What is happening with that?
All right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you lock up somebody for 3 months, but you have not gone into any program to reform, rehabilitate, re-educate, redirect that person, do you think when they come back out, they're going to be a changed person? I think when they come back out, they're going to be worse off. They hate society. They hate the people who put them in there. They hate everybody that is around. So they come back out as haters against society. And we are creating that in our country. We need to go get programs in the prison system that will rehabilitate persons from a life away from crime.
Do you think that the associations, well, business associations across TNT should play a bigger role in what you just described in terms of rehabilitation and funding such programs?
Let me tell you this. My understanding of a country, particularly Trinidad and Tobago, is that every citizen could play a part. Every organization could play a part. Every religious group could play a part. Every social group could play a part. But we must be able to be allowed to play that part, and the resource that could come from those enterprises must be tapped into by government. Government is the overriding body that is there to manage all these things. And that body is there to pull the resources of the country and bring it together to have the effective change that is so necessary for Trinidad and Tobago.
Mr. Ali, we lost you again.
What part are the churches playing in all this? What part are the social programs that you have playing in all of this? What part the cultural groups playing in all of this? You know, there are so many organizations that you hear want to do something, but what part they playing? There should be a systematic approach to how each sector could fall in line to pick up the slack for all our youths that are there idling. I'll tell you something. I'm amazed. At 10 o'clock on a morning, somebody call out for a strike action or a protest action. And out of one street in Port of Spain, you could see 500 persons at 10 o'clock on the morning coming out to join a protest. That is absolute madness. That should never be. Our country should never have the human resource sitting idle by in a manner like that. Get them to work, get them to be productive, get them to organize themselves. And that is badly lacking in our country. Nobody looking at the persons in all the depressed areas, how many persons are idle.
Mm.
Instead of that, we throw weed at them and let them smoke up the place. It is terrible. It is terrible.
So now this question should also explore what should be done with less than 6 months to go, and we're still in a state of emergency. I believe that this state of emergency is close to another end. Do you believe, one, that it should be extended? And if not, what are the other options do we have to prepare for what would be considered a very busy time for business owners?
Let me tell you, if we are looking at the end of a state of emergency, but the government crime prevention program has not realized what they expected to get from it, and they need to go back into it. Simultaneously, they must understand that if we are just locking people up and putting them behind bars, and we have no real change from the ability of these persons to come back as normal citizens, then we are missing the boat. We are not rehabilitating those persons. We are not extending the olive branch, or we are not extending the way to change how they think, to behave as better citizens. And if we don't do it and we don't address that, nothing will change. The prison is a revolving door. And every time they go to prison, they come back as a more seasoned criminal. They come back out as brazen people. They come back out with a different plan to face the criminal aspect of their life rather than changing from it. We must address what happens in prison. We must address that. And we must address what is happening in all the communities that have so many youths that are idle, doing nothing.
And with the removal of programs like, I shouldn't say removal, but the temporary closure, to use the term, of MILAT and other programs for young people, and that gives them another, there's no real option for them at the moment. Let's take in a call quickly at 625-2257, 627-3223. Hello, good morning. All right, sorry, I lost that one. Let's play this voice note, as you can contribute to the conversation at 3061065 or 625-2257, 627-3223.
Yes, good morning. With regards to the development of Trinidad and Tobago, I hope, I honestly believe that the Honorable Prime Minister is aligning herself with the United States to generate wealth and eliminate or minimize the crime situation with the help of the U.S. in Trinidad and Tobago. It is a bold step, yes, and it is something worth trying, because the U.S., being allies of the U.S., they don't really let down their own, right? We, whether we like it or not, we are a big part of the United States, and we depend on them, all right? And on a lighter note, I would like to congratulate Spain. They deserve to win, right? I saw one of the guys saying that, coming from a small house, kitchen and toilet and everything close together, he could now, that's one of the players, he could now give his younger brothers opportunities to make them enjoy the childhood that he didn't have in his childhood.
Thank you so much for your contribution. Let's take in this call. Hello, good morning. 625-2257, 627-3223. Good morning.
Good morning, Tesca.
Morning.
To your honorable guest. Mm-hmm. You know, blessed to all businessmen in Trinidad and Tobago. Blessed are they. Now, I want to know business. How do they make it? You have your high operating costs, Miss Ali, your high operating costs, your fight against foreign exchange for your business, and crime, right? How do you all manage to exist in such an environment? I would like to hear your response, please. Thank you.
Mr. Ali?
Let me tell you, there's a challenge to operate in an environment like Trinidad and Tobago. But you must understand who is a businessman. And a street vendor is a businessman. I want people to know that. As a matter of fact, a farmer is a businessman. But you look at his resilience, look at his demeanor, look at what he puts out. The ability to behave in a manner, to go through what he goes through, is not a simple exercise, you know. It comes from the inner person. A farmer is not easy to go in the rain or the sun and produce. But he's a businessman. Once you exchange your commodity for money, then you're a businessman. And to assist these persons to move from one direction to another, that is where you have the powers that be, who will assist, who will generate educational programs, who will generate different ideas, who will generate funding, who will stimulate things that will surround that businessman or that young entrepreneur to become more vibrant and to even extend what he's doing to employ persons. But it must be encouraged. And yes, the only reason why these people are so resilient is because they are different breed of persons. They are not the normal businessman who operate a business from a computer at home or a computer at an office. They go out there and they face the clientele, and they face the burdens, and they face the issues on a daily basis. And we must acknowledge them. We must understand who they are. San Juan Business Association, I'll tell you, we have large businesses registered with us. We have, if you look at the Icon Plaza that you have El Seguro South, and you look at the Extra Foods, and you look at all the banks, they are members. But we have a lot of small and micro businesses that we need to encourage to become better persons in the country to create employment. That is what stimulates. Now, one of the things you have to understand, when a man is unemployed, he faces a health issue as well. Because when he can't pay his bills and he can't keep that business afloat or can't even send his children to school, then the issue of having health problems step in. He's worried.
You mean in terms of mental health?
Mental health is... It steps in. Just facing crime, facing home invasion, causes mental health issues. But a businessman who can't pay his bills and send his children to school faces mental health issues too. And we must understand it. We must come up. We must try to assist. We must see how we could get them going.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Ali, we have approximately one more minute to go. Any closing remarks that you would have for our listeners in terms of the plight of businessmen in San Juan?
My call on the public really is to support small and micro, and my call on government is to extend whatever assistance they can and start talking to organizations throughout the country to stimulate various areas that badly need assistance and ways that they can help from their side. We understand the economy is bad, not just for the private sector. It is also bad for government to deal with their bills, to deal with their continued expenditures. We understand that. But if then ideas to stimulate this country in a progressive way will not happen, or will not happen quickly enough. So I will ask them, they all come together, let's talk. how we can make this country, Trinidad and Tobago, one that is more comfortable for every citizen to survive.
Mr. Ali, I do appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to us. And we hope to see you again soon at Freedom 106.5 FM. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Take care.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.